All right, Will Roberts Weekly Telegram, willsays.com, and willrobertsweeklytelegram.com. And on Twitter, you can check it out. And on Facebook, I'm sorry, Twitter and Instagram, it's Today's Cartoons. That's Today's Cartoon. Today's Cartoon. Check out my 1 minute segments to Daily Scream. Ah, yeah. So there it is. Hey, second part of the show, of course, Racha Chaudhry, Pop Fox, that's popvox.com, the weekly Bills on the Hill. Rachna, how are you? Let me start off by saying it's warm here. That's all I'm saying. In California.
Well, Tuesday we had a sort of snow day. So, Yes.
That's it.
About 2.7 inches of snow here in the District of Columbia.
Well, that's only a fraction of the snow job that you're getting as opposed to the administration.
Oh, that was quite a segue.
Sorry
well
about that.
Well done.
Wow. Hey, I just want to say that, you know, watching the news, I've decided to stop watching the actual news to get the information about, you know, President Trump and the administration. And now I just look at the comments. Just look at the post comments. That's it. Why bother? Wow, it's crazy out there. So with that being said, how much movement is happening on your side of the fence in regards to the bills on the Hill?
Lots. And this week was a big week for the Obamacare Republican replacement plan.
Yes.
Called
America's...
the American Health Care Act.
Right.
Which that's... the acronym ACA.
ACA?
Not quite sure how to pronounce that.
Well, it sounded weird.
AHCA.
Yeah. I think I've just decided right now, as you said it, it's called the American what?
Healthcare Act.
I think I'm going to call it the American Healthcare Acts. Okay, moving on. It is getting quite a lot of, I'm not going to say it's getting, it's getting a lot of flack. I mean, you talked about the fact that it kind of came out our last show. And there's lots of stuff still being tweaked. What's this week look like with the American Health Care Act?
the acronym just doesn't quite work. So this week there were more hearings about it, and the Democrats, and of course, you know, when you look at Republicans, the Republicans introduced this earlier this month, and Speaker Ryan has been out promoting this, talking about it. Vice President Mike Pence has been talking about this. But then they're facing a lot of opposition within their own party. There's a lot of Republicans basically saying, nope. And we've talked about this before. And after whatever, even if they pass it in the House, it goes to the Senate. And there's Republican senators that are already saying, nope, this is a dead bill, that we are not even considering this. And that is pretty significant. If you look on Popbox, now you can go to Popbox, find the American Health Care Act, which is the House Republican plan to repeal and replace Obamacare. And the opposition for this bill is overwhelming.
And opposition?
Yes.
Really?
People do not support this bill. And right now, it's 96% opposed. Now,
are you joking?
No, that is what this looks like right now. Now, granted, there's a lot of people concerned that their health insurance is going to be taken away.
Of course, yeah.
And so the language is angry because they feel this personally, and they feel really frustrated.
Okay.
So, and we see this with some other issues as well, where people that are being affected by this or may be affected by it are the ones speaking up. And that's important. We see the same thing in town hall meetings. People are going to town hall meetings and talking about how this affects them personally. And they have these very compelling stories. So
let me stop you and say, would you say the fundamental problem that is being expressed is really just that people are concerned about what exists now and they have, or that they are concerned that they won't be able to afford the Affordable Care Act, which is not what it is anymore. What is that, really just that they're concerned about losing what they currently have?
I think it's a little of both. Just from reading comments from individuals, they're afraid of losing benefits, but then also they're afraid of the big picture. And I'm quoting a Popbox user that weighed in saying that this bill hurts the poor, hurts the sick, hurts the elderly and women, and puts 20 million people out of health insurance. So some people are talking big picture, other people, and I'm reading another constituent comments with their own need for healthcare because they have a cleft lip and palate, and that's meant a number of reconstructive surgeries.
Yeah, and that may be that's cosmetic, isn't it?
No, because it's a birth defect.
Oh, okay.
So it's a pre-existing condition. But if this person's plan changes and they're no longer covered like they were under the Affordable Care Act, where pre-existing conditions were covered, then what happens?
Right.
So the stories run from some very personal details to thinking about it in the big picture of what are our values as a country, or what do we owe to our own community in terms of taking away healthcare from people. So it's very compelling. And even if you don't weigh in yourself, if you don't have a story, that's okay. If you go and read what other people are saying, it is so interesting.
I imagine. I can actually see there's a bit of humor here in the sense that I can imagine 2 years ago when we were talking about this, then President Obama came out and said, you know, stop calling it Obamacare. It's called the Affordable Care Act. Today, I want to interview him today. He's probably like, oh, yeah, it's called Obamacare. Yeah, you just call it Obamacare all day long. He's like, I'm okay with that. Everybody's screaming at calling it Obamacare because now all of a sudden there are people, as bizarre as it may seem, that are wondering where their Obamacare is. But let me ask this. One of the things that you mentioned it is a big concern is that we're seeing or hearing these numbers. I don't know if this is fake news or not, but I'm hearing 20 to 24 million people that potentially may be out of healthcare. And one of the big reasons that, in my opinion, and I mentioned this to my family, is that I'm concerned about this whole tax credit thing. Because most people, when you think about it, if you think about it, that are living basically as much as they can and not being able to survive much on the amount of money they make. Maybe they're tradespeople, they're not making it, they're part-time, they're outsourced, whatever they are. They are not making this amount of money that even helps them survive each year. What would a tax credit do for someone like that? That's the question I wonder if other people are asking. And I'm hearing that they are.
Yes. And that there are so many questions to this where...
Yeah, you said it last week. It's complicated.
It's complicated, yeah. And then which information are you going to trust? Is it the Congressional Budget Office and their assessment? Is it the administration's assessment? Is it Trump's tweets? You know, there's so much information and you're not quite sure of where to go.
Well, I can tell you the answer to that. And it's a very unfortunate answer. And that is the same thing we say about presidents. You can't really judge them right now, but time will tell. And that's the unfortunate part about this thing happening in our country right now is that we have this whole rampant thing running about fake news and who do you trust and what information is real and what's fake. You're right. How do you say, well, you know, they're right, or he's right, or he's, you know, because he is creating this along with his administration. But the bottom line is, it might be like Obamacare, where time will tell. We don't know.
Right. Yes. And so the other hot topic of the week was President Trump's budget. Yes. Now, this is his first budget blueprint that he has introduced to Congress. And presidents propose these budgets as kind of like a guideline for Congress as to what their priorities will be. And of course, Congress has the final say of how what kind of budget will get passed or not passed. Sometimes they never pass a budget.
Right.
But the cuts that President Trump has proposed are staggering. And there's a lot of questioning from both sides of the aisle in terms of how is this going to go down?
Yeah.
And I think that, well, again, you can go to PopBox and read in detail and then weigh in and write a letter to your members of Congress about what you feel about these budget cuts.
Yeah.
But the cuts are drastic to every department except the Defense Department.
Right.
Well, and when you look at, say, the EPA, he's proposing a 30% mm-hmm. decrease in their budget.
Right.
And a cut of about 3,000 jobs, for example.
Well, let me throw this into you and the listeners and tell you that in looking at this list, because I have it in front of me, of all...
You can look at the Department of Education, and that's a 13% decrease in the budget.
Right, right. Okay, so you know what? I actually have the list in front of me because I've had it when it came out the last couple of days. And one thing I'll tell you, there is a trend here. And that is that it does involve environmental, it does involve small business, and it does involve manufacturing. And the funny thing is, because look, here's some of them. 20th Century Community Learning Centers, bye-bye. Advanced Technology for Vehicles, that's the, you know, the emissions thing, bye-bye. Manufacturing Programs, Loans to Auto Manufacturers. African Development Foundation, investing in African businesses, immigration, bye-bye. I mean, there's a lot of stuff in here. Development of affordable housing, poor people, gone. Chemical Safety Board, gone. Chesapeake Bay Restoration, whatever. Some of these you look at and you go, yeah, I could see that going away. Community Services Block Grant, helping, you know, alleviate poverty. Anything that really sounds like it has to do with helping, I hate to say this, helping small businesses and people who are less fortunate, it's kind of like, you know, public broadcasting, it's kind of being cut. So,
and you just touched on public broadcasting, which is PBS and Sesame Street and some really valuable educational opportunities for children, because I think we all grew up on Sesame Street. But there's some really significant ones where we're not sure how this is going to work. For example, the National Endowment for the Arts. He's not just cutting their budget. He's proposing to eliminate the entire budget of the National Endowment for the Arts. Now, that's significant because the National Endowment for the Arts, for example, was created by Congress. So you need an act of Congress to actually eliminate that agency. So I don't know how Congress is going to respond to that. And there's so many of them. You're right. The list is so long.
Yeah, it's pretty long.
That you don't even know where to start. Do you go alphabetically?
I mean, it's insane. State Energy Program provides funding and technological services, assistance for energy efficient and clean energy. It's hard not to pick these out and say, how is it that any of this is really going to help the American public? It might be helping the American companies going public. But the point is that some of these just are mind-blowing. You know, helping homeless, gone. Yeah. Water.
Meals on wheels,
bye-bye. You know, I mean, this is just staggering, and will definitely be creating a lot of, you know, the good thing is it'll be creating an awful lot of traffic for PopBox because,
regardless of what side of the aisle you're on, these affect communities, and you should know what's getting cut. You know, after school programs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you should know.
School lunches.
Yeah.
It's important to know, and it's important. And even if you support these cuts, it's important to weigh in and explain why. Because right now, a lot of people are just shocked in terms of the zeroing out of a lot of these. So they want to hear from the other side. They want to hear why is this something valuable? And in some cases, it's often, oh, let the states take care of it, or let non-governmental entities take care of it.
But they can't do that, because the problem is that they get money from federal. And, you know, let me just say two last ones. Weatherization assistance program, providing grant for weatherizing low-income homes. And the last one is the Woodrow Wilson International Center, foreign policy think tank. We're in essence sort of being asked not to think and not to be working towards being stewards of our land or our people. And I just want to end what I'm saying right now by saying I want the president to figure out how to make things work for everybody. I do not want, again, you helped me on this and I'm trying to reform myself. I want the president to be successful, but we've got to have the program, some of these programs, because they make, if anything, make the administration look like they actually care. And that's the problem I think we have right now.
So this, ladies and gentlemen that are listening, this is an exciting moment because Will Roberts is telling me some things that I don't know. And that's really exciting because the level of engagement and interest you're showing to this, you're not alone. There's so many people that are just seeing this and thinking, okay, what does this mean? What does this mean to my community, my family, my job, and where does this go in the long run? And I think those conversations are really important. And remember when I said Congress has a 2-week recess coming up in April? Well, I'm sure they're going to be hearing from people about many of these cuts.
Yeah, no, absolutely they are. And it just means that I think we're going to see in a massive amount of meetup groups for town halls. Everybody meet up here, because this is truly going to get a lot of fire going. But, you know, I wonder if that's actually doing anything. And I hope that for Pop Fox, that you are getting, you know, good engagement and people are actually taking to the you know, to the local and state government and sending them information. Are you seeing more actual stuff going to the Congress and the Senate people?
Oh yeah, the traffic on our site is up. People are writing more thoughtful comments than ever before, and they're much more aware and they're sharing information with others.
That's great.
And in fact, I have people just personally in my life asking me, hey, how can I get more information about something? Or wait, this doesn't seem right. And sometimes it's my family members who haven't really engaged ever before asking me, literally, I just got an email from an aunt of mine that said she has something to say to her lawmakers about whether or not President Trump was wiretapped by President Obama. So, well, there's actually a bill in Congress that would require the intelligence agencies to provide information to that, right? So there are opportunities to engage. And I think that's really important. To speak up right now.
It is essential. And I will add to that something that, again, you've helped me and helped reform me in the sense that, look, the thing is that there's nothing worse than someone running around with a torch and screaming at people saying that, you know, that this person's a witch. The only thing worse is 100 of those people. And the problem is that doesn't really get anything done. And the problem right now is that, yes, it is great. No, I'm sorry, not the problem. The beauty of what's happening right now, and we talked about this in the beginning when everybody had to, you know, on the left had to come to the senses and say, you know, he is going to be our president regardless. We had to figure out how to work with that. Well, the thing that we face now is that we've got to make sure that we are on places like Pop Vox that are being civil, and are being smart and asking people that are smarter. It's okay to ask for directions, by the way. I know many people that don't like to ask directions or ask people things because, I don't know, they're embarrassed or whatever. My wife is one. Anyway, and so I'm the guy that goes, I'll ask. Why not? That's why they're here. That's why PopVox and places like PopVox are here, to be able to provide you with the intelligent information that is factual, that will then allow you to make a factual, sensible decision on your voting and the next step to take in our society as a civilian and a constituent. Yes?
Yes.
There it is.
Absolutely. And, you know, PopVox isn't the only place. It is a place. You can, but also, you can go to a town hall meeting. You can ask your lawmaker face to face. You can call them. You know, there's so many things that people can do.
Yeah.
And I highly encourage it, of course.
Yeah.
But it's also fun and interesting. And you can meet other people in your community and get in touch with people. And I think that that's what all this questioning and asking and stuff has allowed us to connect with our neighbors.
Absolutely.
In a way I haven't seen in a while. And it is like asking for directions or asking, you know, you're in a new town and you say, hey, I'm new around here. What's the best place to get some food?
Yeah.
People will always be happy to help.
But let's be very clear in that one of the reasons why you're telling the stories of people talking about the healthcare and you're saying that they're riveting and they're informative about people's particular individual stories, I'm going to go out on a limb and say, do you know why that's appealing to both sides? Do you know why people will sit and listen to someone's story? I don't want to call it a sob story, but for better lack of words, a sob story about why things are bad, as opposed to the person screaming at you? No one. I repeat, nobody wants to be screamed at. So the town halls, when you go there, you do have the opportunity to be able to voice yourself if you're picked and you can do it. But purely by screaming at people gets nothing done. If you take things apart and get educated on something and say simply, look, I have a question. So can you tell me how this works out? And you're being civil and you're being low-toned. Can you tell me how this works? And, you know, I really am very interested. If you're genuine about what you're doing and not screaming at someone, you're not making them look like they're wrong. Perhaps that's the opportunity right now in our society, in our country, to be able to get things done, is to be more level-headed than the people actually in politics, which they're not. They're just trying to push a lot of agendas. So I don't know. I mean, use PopVox and information and get out there and be civil.
So I'm going to add one more thing to it.
Sure.
And why a story is even, of course, it's more compelling than screaming, because usually when people are screaming at me, I'm just thinking, oh my God, I can't believe this guy is screaming at me. Rather than, let me listen to their point of view.
Sure.
But also storytelling, sharing a personal story.
Yep.
When you're trying to get the attention of a congressional staffer who's just trying to figure out 1,000 different issues at one moment and is probably 25 years old, storytelling appeals to the heart.
Yeah.
And congressional staffers tell me time and again, they make you relatable and they make you realize as a staffer that the writer could be their friend or family member,
right,
someone from the district.
Yeah.
And it puts that human heart connection to the story. And so I did a little research behind that. And there's a professor at the Wharton Business School at the University of Pennsylvania named Deborah Small. And she's done a lot of studies on whether to appeal to the heart with a personal story or the head through, say, a lot of statistics or an infographic.
Logic.
And these days we see tons of infographics everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it turns out that in her research, when you share a personal story, you're 1.66 times more likely to be more compelling than when you're just sharing statistics.
Absolutely.
So this is actually a scientific fact.
Yeah.
So,
well, keynote speakers do it all the time. I mean, I'm a keynote speaker.
Yeah.
You know what? When you point to a screen, you go, look, this says that, and that says this. And then I say, you know, Let me tell you, I was in Cirque du Soleil when I did that. People are there. They listen. Fact of the matter is that the reason why humor is funny is, in most cases, other than people just doing a pratfall and people thinking that's funny, the reason why it, humor or comedy is funny is because they can relate. When you don't relate, I mean, knock, knock, why'd the chicken cross the road? Whatever. Hey, that's funny. But what's even funnier is that when you take them on a journey and they've been on that journey themselves in some way, shape, or form. So I think what we're saying here today in our show is to get the information from Popbox or wherever you want to get it. I think we prefer it was Popbox. But get that information from Popbox and find out how you can help and get the information to other people. And when it all is said and done, the more people in this circle that you, you know the whole secret game where you start and at the end it's a totally different story? Well, if you get everyone in that circle to get educated about the facts about what actually is true and what isn't, by the time they get around to the other side, you're just going to have a whole lot of fired up people with the right information. So there it is. Rachna Chaudhry, of course, from Popvox. That's popvox.com. The Weekly Bills on the Hill. What a gratifying day this has been. And I hope that you had a good day as well. And keep warm, because here in California, it's kind of hot out. And
I'm tired of you Californians complaining.
Yeah, by the way, we're going to get Aaron Pulse from Hollywood on the Hill back on, but he's got a little something going on. Probably, I have a suggestion if you want to help him with this, because I'm still getting over my cold, but it's definitely a lot getting over a lot quicker than he is. Tell him to take a plane and come to California.
Yes, nothing cures a cold like California does.
Absolutely.
And I will attest to that.
Absolutely. Tell them to do that. Take two Californias and call me in the morning. Okay. Thank you, Rachna Chaudhry. We'll talk to you next time. Okay.
Thank you.
All right. Hey, folks, we're going to leave now because I went long, and be well, be safe, get educated, and share it with a friend. See you next week.